The CEO of Southern Response was nowhere to be found as calls for a public inquiry into the state insurer's conduct were reignited today. It comes after a precedent-setting High Court ruling on Friday found the organisation had engaged in misleading and deceptive conduct when it deliberately withheld information from a customer, which left Carl and Alison Dodds almost $250,000 out of pocket. The shocking ruling has left experts wondering just who is going to be held accountable and whether Southern Response can really shut up shop by the end of the year. In a few minutes, we'll hear from the former EQC Minister, Gerry Brownlee, about what he knew. But first, Logan Church and cameraman Simon Rogers on the repercussions of Friday's judgment, which could affect more than 3,000 customers and cost the taxpayer at least another $300 million to make good.
Misleading and deceptive conduct. There in Friday's High Court's ruling in black and white. In the case of Carl and Alison Dodds, the High Court heard Southern Response gave the Dodds an edited version of a detailed repair analysis, also known as a DRA, for the rebuild of their home. This abridged assessment was tens of thousands of dollars less than the full estimate that the insurer kept secret from them. The couple unwittingly settled on the lesser figure in 2013, meaning they were shortchanged almost $200,000. For insurance advocate Dean Lester, this court ruling is about time.
What a stunning judgment from the court to have deceit, bad faith and such awful behaviour that affects families, whānau, is quite disturbing.
Many families have been battling the state insurer for years in the hopes that Southern Response would honour their policy. You've heard many of their stories on Checkpoint. Those homeowners have told us grim tales of delays, refusal to negotiate, and the effect of that is profound. The stress, the financial drain, the seemingly never-ending battle.
The values on the Southern Response website page and other documentation, if it didn't make me so angry, I'd probably laugh hysterically. And it's something that many of us have raised over the last 7 or 8 years at varying times. I mean, just for example, and you think about the case that's just gone through now, they talk about integrity, and it says on the website, we demonstrate honesty, transparency, fairness and objectivity in all our interactions. Really?
That's insurance advocate Ellie Jones. She says she's glad the Dodds' case has been brought to light.
It didn't surprise me that they were found wanting and wanting in such a terrible way, not only from our personal experience with them, but from what we've heard about the way Southern Response behaves and has been behaving over the last 8 years.
Some of that behaviour has come out. The organisation was slammed for allegedly spying on claimants through controversial security firm Thompson & Clark. Southern Response's chairperson, Ross Butler, resigned over the fiasco. But Ellie Jones thinks that a public inquiry is needed to find out what else could be hidden, especially before the organisation's expected closure at the end of the year.
I think it's really important that we get to find out what else has been going on inside Southern Response over the last 7 or 8 years before it winds up. People will disappear, they will go away, they will, you know, the offices will close, physically there won't be offices anymore. And I think we need to get in there and shine some light into all of the cracks and crevices within Southern Response before it's no longer a company.
The issue of the two different repair assessments is the subject of a class action led by Grant Cameron of GCA Lawyers. He wasn't at all surprised at the High Court judgment on Friday and thinks thousands of people could be impacted.
On the information that's been supplied by Southern Response to the court in the second class action, it does appear as though there's potentially 3,000 people.
And if successful, the cost to the Crown could be...
potentially $300 million. We're operating on some limited information, but on the pattern of information we've seen with the people in the class action so far, most have lost about $100,000 on average. Some are as high as $200,000, some are as low as, say, $50,000, but there's a lot of money at stake.
But Mr Cameron says in the end, this is a government organisation, and the solution should come from the government.
Well, I think in the court of public opinion, as opposed to some of the legal nuances and technicalities that can always be raised with any sort of argument, it's going to be very hard going into election year to persuade Cantabrians that they're being dealt with fairly if this hasn't been resolved.
Meanwhile, the lawyer for the Dodds, Peter Woods of Anthony Harper Lawyers, says one of the big questions now is over how Southern Response could still plan to shut when a tsunami of angry homeowners, with now a legal leg to stand on, could be on its way.
There's no way Southern Response can just close up shop and walk away. Those claims have to be resolved. So if they're going to close, then they'll have to transfer that responsibility and obligation to someone else. The obvious party to take it on would be EQC, but I think homeowners will be pretty frustrated if that happens.
We wanted to speak to Southern Response about this, in particular Anthony Honeybone, its chief executive since September 2017, and prior to that, its general manager for claim settlement since 2015. Despite our repeated requests, he has declined our offer of an interview. And this is common now from his office, who use an external communications agency to provide written answers to our questions by email. Ali Jones says he needs to front the public and explain exactly what is going on.
I'm so disappointed when, board chairs or CEOs or whoever don't front on these things. I don't think I've ever seen Anthony Honeybone front, actually. Does anyone know what he looks like?
A view shared by Dean Lester.
I thought the indication from the court on Friday was that this doesn't relate to the current CEO being Anthony Honeybone, but obviously he needs to address it, whether it's Alistair James as the chair of the board. There's been previous CEOs and Peter Rose and Peter Jensen, and one wonders as to what awareness they had with relation to what has been going on.
The minister responsible for Southern Response, Grant Robertson, was not available for an interview. He says he is seeking advice from Treasury as to the scale of liability post the Friday ruling. Southern Response has 20 days to appeal the High Court decision. In the meantime, it continues to refuse to front Mr. Honeybone for interviews. In Christchurch for Checkpoint, Logan Church.